Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And continuing our series of the Master in the Midst, our text of this morning would be verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. It is a common practice for individuals, when perhaps a serious illness overtakes them, to cry out to the Lord for help and for healing. And if and when the Lord is pleased to raise them up, that kindness, that act of kindness and mercy of the Lord is very quickly forgotten. They demonstrate a terrible spirit of ungratefulness and ingratitude. The one who was pleased to raise them up receives no acknowledgement or no thanks. They forget or indeed are ignorant of the words of the psalmist when he said in Psalm 136 verse 1, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." It is a simple act of common courtesy to do so, to give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness. Yet that was something that a group of 9 men neglected to do. 9 men who had experienced the goodness and mercy of the Lord in their lives, being healed of the awful plague of leprosy, and yet not one of them returned to give thanks to the Lord for all he had done for them. 9 voices remained silent when they should have spoken. 9 voices remained silent in a terrible display of ingratitude. 9 voices remained silent, but one man did speak. One man did speak, and with a loud voice glorified God. And this is the story of the day the 10 lepers met the Lord when he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Each one of them should have been very thankful that the Lord indeed took that journey through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And I trust that this story will encourage each one of us to be more aware of the Lord's dealings with us and to render to the Lord the praise of our lips for the tokens of his goodness and grace and mercy that we receive at his gracious hand every day. Because God is glorified when we can say, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Psalm 118, verse 23. And so when we say, "This is the Lord's doing," that glorifies God. When the Lord is pleased to touch us and heal us, we can say, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." When he's pleased to meet our need, when he's pleased to solve a problem that we have, we can say, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." When we do so, that glorifies him. That glorifies God. And so let us look at this incident. And I want us, first of all, to consider the Master and his mission. The Master and his mission. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The fact that the Lord passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee indicates to us that the Lord Jesus was on a mission. Notice first of all the pathway of the Lord. We read as he went through Jerusalem, or as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria. And so he was actually on his way to Jerusalem. And the Savior knew why he had to go to Jerusalem and what awaited him there. And when he went through the midst of Samaria, the Lord Jesus was actually taking the nearest and the quickest route and way to Jerusalem, to the place of his crucifixion and death. And this demonstrates for us the Lord's willingness to go to the cross, that he was actually taking the quickest and shortest way to Jerusalem by going through Samaria. And it reminds us of the words recorded by the prophet. You turn to Isaiah chapter 50. And there in Isaiah 50, we read about what lay before the Lord in going up to Jerusalem. For we read in Isaiah 50 and verse 5, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear." That's a reference to the servant, when the ear of the servant was bored through with an awl. And that was a sign of his servitude, that he was giving himself to his master. And so we read in verse 5, "That the Lord God hath opened my ear." If you like, the Lord's ear was bored through with an awl. "And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." And so here's the Lord speaking prophetically, as it is recorded by the prophet. The Lord Jesus knew what was before him, and we are told, "I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And we are told, "Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." And here we have the Lord passing through the midst of Samaria, taking the shortest way to Jerusalem, setting his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well what awaited him there. He was fully determined and fully persuaded to do the work he had been sent to do by his Heavenly Father, that he might say in John 17 and verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou hast given me to do." There is much for us to learn then from this attitude of the Lord. So may we also show the same willingness and determination to carry out the work the Lord has given us to do, and may we do it to the glory of his name, as the Savior did. Going through the midst of Samaria marks for us his pathway. Going through the midst of Samaria also tells us about the purpose of the Lord. You remember how John records for us another one of the Savior's sojourns into Samaria. He said, that is what John said of the Lord in John 4, verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through. And so there was purpose in his going through Samaria. It was a must for him. We know that the purpose of him going through Samaria at that time was to meet the woman at Jacob's well. That was his purpose. He must needs go through Samaria. And the purpose being that he had this woman to meet at Jacob's well. You see, there's always reason and there is always purpose to the ways of the Lord. There is never anything done by chance by the Savior. So when he passed through the midst of Samaria, it was to meet with the 10 lepers. We do not read of him doing anything else other than meeting with the 10 lepers at a certain village. And so, again, it could be said, he must needs go through the midst of Samaria. Why? What was his purpose of doing so? That he might meet with the 10 lepers. You see, his ways are perfect, and his ways are purposeful. Nothing, but nothing is done by chance. And let us not think for one moment that this was a chance meeting with the 10 lepers. The lepers themselves may not have known, I'm sure did not know, that the Lord Jesus was going through the midst of Samaria and would come to that village. But the Lord Jesus knew, and he knew the 10 lepers were there. That's why he went through the midst of Samaria. That's why we find him once again, the Master in the midst. He knew that 10 lepers were there at that certain village. This was not a chance meeting. You remember what was said when he met Nathanael and became one of the Lord's disciples. John 1 verse 48. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You may not have seen me. You may not have known anything about me. But I saw you and I know all about you. A man in whom there is no guile. And so while the 10 lepers may not have seen the Lord coming to that village, the Lord knew they were there. That's why he went through the midst of Samaria. You remember also said to disciples as he sent them into the city to prepare the Passover. Told them to go to a certain house. But listen, this is what he said. He said unto them, behold, when you're entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth. Now you think of that. You think of the city of Jerusalem and the hundreds and thousands of people that were in the city of Jerusalem and the number of streets there are in the city. And the number of little sideways there are in the city. And yet here the Lord said, you enter into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher. The Lord knew exactly the man would be there. He knew what street he would be on. He knew that he would be carrying a pitcher of water. And he knew what house he would be entering into, because it was that house the man entered into was where the upper room was furnished. Amazing. See, there are no chance meetings with the Lord. And he knows before we do when and where that meeting will take place. The prophet saith in Jeremiah 51 verse 29, every purpose of the Lord shall be performed. Every purpose of the Lord shall be performed. And so in passing through the midst of Samaria to meet the 10 lepers, the Lord's purpose was performed. He didn't go on that journey through the midst of Samaria to meet the 10 lepers and the 10 lepers not be there. The Lord knew they would be there as he would enter into that certain village. So we've seen his pathway, we've seen his purpose. Now look at his place. We read, in passing through the midst of Samaria, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. We're not given the name of the village. It shall forever remain unknown, at least until we get to heaven and ask the Lord the name of that village. Now we know that when dignitaries visit a country that's not their own, they're always brought into the main cities of that country. They're brought to the capital. And they may tour around the streets in their bulletproof car. But how many of these dignitaries from other countries will visit little towns and villages, the poorer villages, the slum areas of the cities? Why, they're never there. They never see what goes on in the back streets of the cities. They never know what goes on. They're always brought out into the open. But the streamers and the banners are out for them as they pass through the main street into some parliament building somewhere. How very different it was for the Lord. The Lord Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's called the Golden City. But he doesn't bypass this little village, this unknown village, wherever it was. He did not bypass this village that had 10 lepers in it. That would have been the last place some dignitary would have gone to. Without a doubt, that village would have been bypassed and shunned, but not the Savior. Not the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus knew all about the need that there was in this village. That's why he passed through the midst of Samaria, that he might meet these 10 leprous men, men that he knew had a terrible need. When others would have went out of their way to avoid this city, the Savior was of a very different mind. He went one purpose to that village and to meet the 10 leprous men. And are we not thankful that the same loving, kind and considerate Savior showed the same interest in us as he showed in those 10 lepers? Are we not thankful that the Lord, we could say, went out of his way to meet with us and to cleanse us of our leprosy of sin? Yes, he went to Jerusalem to suffer, bleed and die there because he was interested in us and in our spiritual welfare. I'm thankful that he was interested in saving our never dying souls. No, he didn't pass us by. But he came one errand, one mission, to rescue our souls from sin and misery. That's why we can sing, and no doubt we'll be singing it at this time of the year, Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came. Born in the manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me, for me. So having now considered the Savior and the Master and His mission, let us now consider the Master and His mercy. Upon His arrival at the village, He meets the individuals as He had passed through the midst of Samaria. Look at the company of lepers. We are told in verse 12, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Company of lepers. 10 men, we are told, that were lepers. There you have their plight. We have the plight of this company of men. They were lepers. Now it would appear 9 of the lepers were Jews. The other one was the Samaritan. The Samaritan was the one who returned to give thanks to the Lord. And so you have 9 Jews, 1 Samaritan. Now it was commonly known, according to the woman at the well, that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And yet we find here a Samaritan in the company of 9 Jews. How come the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans? What was it that united this Samaritan with the 9 Jews? The 10 of them suffered from the same complaint. The 10 of them, the Jews and the Samaritans, or the Samaritan, had leprosy. That's what joined them together. That's what united them. Again, the woman at the well said, the Jews have no dealings. The word dealings there means to use together or to have something in common. And so the woman was saying to the Lord, but the Jews have nothing in common with the Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritans will not work together, as the word means. But here, lo and behold, we find a Samaritan and 9 Jews, and they have something in common. Leprosy. That's what actually did bring them together. Leprosy. And dear hearer today, that's what brings us all together. The leprosy of sin. That's what is common to us all. Because we all have the leprosy of sin. Some may think that they are better than others. One race of people may think that they're superior to another race of people. But we should remember the words of Paul. Paul says, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verses 22 and 23. Paul says there's no difference. We have all sinned. That is Jew or Gentile. No difference. Bond or free. Rich or poor. Protestant or Roman Catholic. no difference, black or white. There is no difference, for we are all sinful in the sight of God. No difference. The disease of sin runs through the veins of every one of us. That's what unites us all. No matter what country we are from, or what our race is, or what our religion is, there is no difference. So there you have their plight. Then you have their position. You read, look carefully at that verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, as he entered into. In other words, he didn't meet these lepers in the village. It was as he was about to enter in. That's where he met them. And we are told that they stood afar off. So we get the picture. These lepers are not in the village, they're outside the village. And they're standing somewhere afar off, and as the Lord Jesus enters into the village, they cry out to him. You see, lepers were not permitted to be in towns or villages because of their disease. They were really social outcasts. Turn with me, please, to Leviticus 13. In Leviticus 13, you see the awful plight of lepers with regard to others. And there in Leviticus 13 and verse 44, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. That's how someone with leprosy was viewed, as being unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His head, his plague is in his head. Verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp shall his habitation be. What an awful state to be in. Wherever he would go, he would have to cry, unclean. I'm unclean. And many of us would like to have to do that. To broadcast it abroad, I'm unclean. And he was to remain without the camp. He was an outcast. He had to stay outside the camp. He had to stay outside the village. He had to stay outside the town. He was a man unclean. And no one, but no one would want to go near an individual who was unclean. Everyone would avoid such a person. And yet what do we find with the Lord Jesus? We find that the Lord Jesus, in going up to Jerusalem to die for sinners, went through the midst of Samaria that he might meet the 10 lepers. He went there on purpose to meet the lepers. He went there on purpose on a mission and on an errand of mercy. To meet those lepers and to bring healing to them. There's one person. While others would have rejected those lepers, and did do so. When others would have avoided them because of uncleanness, according to the ceremonial law, the Lord Jesus went there to meet them. and went there to change their lives. And sure hasn't the Lord been changing the lives of those who are unclean ever since. Unclean with the vileness of sin. For just as we were unclean and outcast from the kingdom of heaven with no cure for our disease of sin until Jesus came. For he came from heaven to earth on an errand of mercy to bring healing to our leprous, infected souls. We ought to thank him for that every day. Every day we ought to thank him. We notice not only the company of the lepers, we notice the cry of the lepers. For we are told in verse 13 that they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Like Legion, who at the time the Lord arrived in Gadara, whenever Legion saw the Savior, we are told that he was afar off. Mark 5, verse 6. The 10 lepers, when they saw Christ, were afar off. As Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter there was speaking about their state before God. They were afar off, far from God. Far from Christ, far from salvation, far from heaven, but near to hell. And Paul informs us in Ephesians 2:17, peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. While we were in our sin, all of us were afar off from God and from heaven. But then when Jesus came seeking for us and rescued our poor lost souls, we rejoice in the words of Paul. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And for the 10 lepers, they were afar off. And from there, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It's interesting what they cried and how they addressed the Lord. Jesus, Master. We know what Jesus means. It means Savior. So they were crying out for a Savior. The word Master, Master is found often in the Gospels. But on this occasion, it's mostly used, and the meaning rather is teacher. More often used in that sense as a teacher. Master, we know thou art a man, a teacher sent from God. But on this occasion, the word here for master is a word that means superintendent. And so here we have the lepers and they're crying out, Jesus, Savior, Master, superintendent. So when he would become their Savior, he must be their master or their superintendent. A superintendent. We talk about a Sabbath school superintendent. One who's over the Sabbath school. One who tells the teachers what they are to teach and and has the oversight of the Sabbath school. He's the Sunday school superintendent. The Lord Jesus is our superintendent. He is first of all our Savior, and it must be our superintendent. He must have rule over our lives. He must order us according to His word, and as Him being our superintendent, we are to obey His word. We are to obey His commands. And so whenever they cried out, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." In their crying out to Jesus, to the one who was their master, what else could they do but cast their all on the mercy of the Lord? They had nothing in themselves to recommend them to Christ. They couldn't say, "Look how clean we are." They couldn't say, "Look how good we are." They had already been pronounced unclean. What else could they do? Only cast their all on His mercy. Lay their all on His mercy. That's where blind Bartimaeus cast his all. As the Lord Jesus passed by, we're told that Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Luke 18, verse 38. As did the woman of Canaan. When she went to the Lord to ask the Lord to heal her daughter, she said, crying out, said unto Him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David." And you recall the father who brought his son to Christ? "Have mercy on my son." Sure, isn't that where we cast our all also? There's nothing in us that we might use to recommend ourselves to God. Nothing. We were as unclean as these 10 lepers. We were as vile as the 10 lepers. With the disease of sin, what else could we do but say, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Extend Thy mercy to me." And so as guilty, hell-deserving sinners, we ask for forgiveness, crying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Notice the cleansing now of the lepers. We've seen the company and their cry. Now you have their cleansing. And as interesting as the Lord was passing by into the village, that's when they cried out. So for sinners, when Jesus is passing by, you need to cry out. For He may not pass this way again. He would not pass that way again, for He was going on to Jerusalem where He would suffer and die. But now you have the cleansing of the lepers. And upon hearing their cry, the Lord responded by saying, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. This shows that the Savior does not always heal His patients in exactly the same way. He doesn't always follow the same pattern. Some He will lay His hands upon them. Others He will speak the word and say, "Be thou clean." Others He will take by the hand and lift them up. But here on this occasion, He told the 12 or the 10 lepers, "Go to the priests." Because according to Leviticus 14 and verse 2, that's what leprous men were to do. They were to go to the priest, and the priest would decide whether the leprosy was upon them, and he would pronounce them unclean. And so the Lord tells them to go to the priest. The Lord again following the ceremonial law as it was still in operation at that time. And here the lepers must trust Christ. They called out, Savior, Master. Master, Savior, or Jesus, Savior, Master, Superintendent. And here that's what they're doing. They're doing what their superintendent has told them to do. Go to the priest. They're doing exactly what their superintendent told them to do. A number of things we want to note here. That's when they saw his power. For it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Oh, that unsaved, unwashed, diseased sinners would obey the word of the Lord. When the Lord says, come unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me and be ye saved. That's what the Lord says. The Lord says, ye must be born again. And these lepers obeyed the Lord's word, and as a result, they were cleansed. They experienced the power of God in their lives. There was the power and there was the praise. Notice only one of the company of the lepers with a loud voice glorified God. It is interesting that the other nine, there's no record of them giving thanks at all, never mind returning to the Lord to thank Him. There's no record of any word of praise coming from their lips. Ingratitude. It's hard to believe this example of their ingratitude. Not one word of thanks. Not one word of praise to God. You have the power. You have the praise. The one man, the Samaritan. And there you have the person who turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Was a Samaritan, or as the Lord referred to him as this stranger. Verse 18. The word stranger there simply means one of another nation. And does this not show us that the Lord will receive all comers from all nations, from any nation? And you also have his posture. What do we read there? First of all, we must look at verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. But now in verse 16, and he fell down at his feet, on his face at his feet. He's not afar off anymore. He has been made nigh. He has been drawn to Christ, just like you and I. We who were once afar off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. And where should we be? What posture should we occupy? Down at the feet of Jesus, the place of devotion and thanks. He came to the feet of Christ and there gave thanks. In the last place, we have the Master and his message. The Savior had a message for all who were there with him at that time. For he said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There's the Lord's challenge. The Lord delivers this word, this challenging word. It shows us that the Lord takes note. The Lord takes note of those who return to give him thanks. The Lord does not ignore us after he has healed us, or met our need, or solved our problem, or lifted our burden. He wanted to know where the 9 were. They had not returned to give thanks. And believer, may we ever and always return to give thanks, because the Lord is looking for that word of thanks. As the psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." The Lord expects us to praise him, and our praise will glorify him. 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 30, "And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening." David was exhorting the people to stand every morning and praise God, and likewise do the same at the end of the day. Begin the day with praise and end the day with praise. But no praise came from 9 of the lepers. You have the challenge and you have the cause. Notice why the Lord expected the other 9 cleansed to return. We are told that the Lord said, Jesus answering said, verse 17, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." That's why the Lord wanted them to return. To give glory to God. To give glory to His Heavenly Father. And we know that during the Lord's earthly ministry, He did all to the glory of God. "Father, glorify Thy name," was His prayer. May we learn from Christ our Savior, take the advice that is given by Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And in the last place, you have the commendation. In verse 19, "And he said unto him," that is unto the Samaritan, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." We have seen in this recent study where the Lord pays attention to faith. He likes to see faith. He likes to see it in operation. And here this leper put his faith in Jesus Christ. And the Lord said to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." He commends him for his faith. May we be commended for our faith. Not upbraided as the disciples often were for their little faith and lack of faith. But may we receive a word of commendation also with regard to our faith. Now we know why the Lord went through the midst of Samaria. Now we know why we find the Lord Jesus, the Master, the Superintendent, once again in the midst. It was to heal those 10 lepers. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, we thank Thee for Thy holy truth. Lord, Thy word is always an encouragement to us. And Lord, Thy word this morning has come to us by way of exhortation. Lord, Thou hast exhorted us to be more thankful. Even as Lord David exhorted the people to thank the Lord in the morning, and to finish the day with praise. Lord, make us a praising people. May we ever be mindful, Lord, of Thy goodness, even the very fact that, Lord, Thou didst set Thy face as a flint to go to Jerusalem and there to suffer, bleed, and die for us, and to cleanse us from the leprosy of sin. Have us to thank thee daily, regularly, for all that thou hast done. Be with us now, Lord, as we leave thy house. Bless us and take us now to our homes in safety, and return us tonight, O Lord, to once again spend time around thy word and learn more about thee and learn more of thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.